We had a smaller praise team today. So many are traveling and out and gone. I want to tell all of you who are streaming in and can't be with us today, we miss you. We look forward to seeing you in 2024. All of you through our Grace Abroad ministry in Europe, we love you. We pray for you consistently, and we persevere in that prayer. We pray that God blesses you in 2024 and that we can continue to minister in your life, and we thank you for being here. Biz and Ethan, I know you're there. 64 hours, really? But hey, praise God. We look forward to seeing you today as you come home with your baby girl to start this new journey. Well, I want to thank you. I hope you enjoyed that video. We started that last year, and I think we'll continue to do that. We forget all that God does in a single year. We forget all the fellowship and all the blessing and all the serving. I'm just very thankful for you. So here we are. We're going to close out the year today, and I'm just thankful that if the Lord tarries, we get to continue to serve and worship Him together. Amen. Well, let's just get right into it today. Matthew 17, that chapter records an astonishing event, an event that occurred in the lives of Peter, James, and John. Jesus, what did He do? He took them to a high mountain by themselves, and we're told, the Bible says, He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun. Can you imagine being there? And His garments became as white as light. In that moment, what did Jesus do? He pulled back the veil of His flesh, and He reveals His stunning glory. Are you looking forward to that day when you see Him in glory? Moses was there, and Elijah appeared with Jesus, and they're there with the Lord. Then we read something that I find humorous to a degree. We read that Peter began to talk. Good old Peter. Asking the Lord if they should build three tabernacles, one for him, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And Peter's talking. Then it says, while he was still speaking, that's Peter, while he was still speaking, you know, he's, in this moment, giving his opinions and suggestions, and you got to love him for it, he was abruptly interrupted. And a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Wow. That's the voice of the Father. Father, with the imperative, with an explanation point. What happened then? You think Peter kept on talking? The only thing that should have happened, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. Rightfully so. You know, for all of us, there is a time to be quiet and listen, isn't it? Especially when it comes to Jesus Christ. There's a time when we need to just shelve our opinions, stop with our suggestions, our ideas, our thoughts, and just humbly fall to the ground and listen to Jesus when He speaks. And if ever there is a time that the church must return to listening to Jesus, I mean the church, the universal church, the whole church, to hearing what Jesus has to say, it is now. In our culture today, it is now. Sean McDowell, he interviewed Dr. Jay Morrow as to his 10 reasons why we resist biblical authority. He said, the biggest issue facing the church today is not the gender issue, relativism, the cancel culture, religious liberty, sexuality, or tribalism, but rather the root issue underlying all of them is the issue of authority. Without authority, it's left to an opinion. The church is swimming in a culture today called the Z generation that is experiencing, according to Dr. Morrow, a massive shift from authority, that's something outside of me, to authenticity and individualism, something within me. It's my truth. I decide. It's how I feel. But my truth is my truth. And it is this crisis of authority, says Dr. Morrow, that is seeping into the church today. Therefore, it's with this cultural crisis in mind, which challenges all outside authority today, such as the Bible, and challenges the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we begin our next series going into the new year. Lord, I just pray. We come before you today. We thank you for the opportunity to sing to you, to bless you with the truth of these words and the lyrics that point to who you are and how you should be honored and praised. I pray today, Lord, that we will hear your word, that we will listen to your voice, that, Lord, we will heed what you have to say. Lord, we look forward to moving into next year, and we're not sure if we're even going to get there, for Lord, you may come back even today. But Lord, if you tarry, Lord, I thank you that we get to go into the new year together. I pray you'll bless each person here in their walk with you, in their fellowship with you, in their usefulness for you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our last three series have been actually confronting this crisis of authority. In some form or fashion, the last three series have confronted it head on, and we've seen much more in them, such as in Hosea, Wisdom for Our Age. It dealt directly with the wisdom we are to have compared to this wisdom we are hearing in the world today. And that whole series was based on Hosea 14:9, where we read, "Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. Remember, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them." And in order to walk in those right ways of the Lord with his wisdom, we then went to Galatians, the Spirit walk, to learn to walk in the Spirit in the right ways of the Lord. To do it with his power and his strength. And also, what else did we see? Where the authority there in Galatians and truth of the gospel was under attack. And we saw how we can know the gospel, defend it, and live out the gospel through the fruits of the Spirit and his power. Which then led us into the When Jesus series, to know the authority of Jesus, that when Jesus says it will happen just the way he says it will. And we saw that the Lord's return is imminent, and the time for following him is now, urgently being his servants and his ambassador. So knowing all of this, and knowing this crisis of authority, that if we need his wisdom for this age, walking in his ways through the Spirit, knowing the last day's prophecy and needing to be living as if Christ will return at any moment, we better be good listeners of Jesus Christ. Which leads us into our next series entitled, Hear Jesus. Time to hear. Amen. Hear Jesus. We've looked at when Jesus. At Christmas, we looked at why Jesus. And now as we face the new year of 2024, we are going to step back from all the voices speaking to us today, and we're going to listen to and hear what Jesus, who is the supreme authority, has to say to the church today. As he speaks to the seven churches in Revelation. There's where we're going to be camping out for a while. Next slide. There we go. We will progress through each church in the upcoming months. We're going to be gleaning the warnings and the praises that Jesus has for the church. We're going to be wanting to fix any warnings that apply to us. Amen? Can I get everybody to say, yeah, I will. If a warning applies to me, I will fix it. And we will want to build up and build upon any of the praises he has for the church. As we shall see, Jesus says to each of the seven churches, he who has an ear, let him hear. Each church he says this to. Therefore, this word here, it's the same word God uses at the transfiguration when he said of Jesus, listen to him. Isn't that interesting? It is the very same word. Jesus is going to tell us what he likes, and he's not going to hold back. He's going to tell us what he dislikes as well about the church. Then he's not just going to leave it there. He's going to give advice as to what to do about it, as well as some warnings if we do not listen. He also will encourage us with the blessings and the rewards that come if we follow what he says. And then the Lord does something. He will throw the ball into your court, and he will say, he who has an ear, let him hear. And he'll leave it up to you. And he says, this is not just to the church collectively, but to us individually. Notice, he that has an ear is in the singular. It's like if the shoe fits, wear it. If the shoe fits, wear it. What Jesus has to say to those seven churches 2,000 plus years ago is exactly what we need to hear today. It's exactly what we need to hear today in this world that seems to be in chaos and a church that seems to be following suit in many areas. Therefore, as we look to the new year in 2024, I pray that we will be a people, that we will be a church as never before that listens to Jesus, people who hear Jesus, people who have an ear to hear. And I know if that is the type of people we want to be, that through the Holy Spirit, that is exactly the type of people we will be. And therefore, God can use all of us to his glory in 2024. William Newell, in his commentary on Revelation, he said this, and I thought this was profound. One of the most solemn studies in the whole Bible is that concerning the hearing ear. Wow. That is all we're going to look at this morning. The hearing ear. What kind of ear is that? It's very important before we just dive into the seven churches. It's very important to know what kind of ear this is. For the blessings of God depend upon hearing, depend upon an ear that hears him. Revelation 1:3, I'm going to read to you in a moment, but it is an elliptical sentence. It's an ellipsis, kind of like triune immersion. And I'm going to fill in the ellipsis for you as we read the scripture, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads, and fill in the ellipsis, blessed are those who hear the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Did we not just see that in the Win Jesus series, that the time is near, right? So blessed is he who reads, who hears, who heeds. Over the next 3 weeks, I tend to do this in series. I tend to lay it down a few weeks before we even get into the series. But over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at various aspects of hearing before we even get into the very first church, okay? Because if we don't understand how to hear, And what Jesus means by hearing, we're not going to do too well at hearing what he has to say to the seven churches. Amen? So today I want to look at a few things. First, let's start with this. We need to make some distinct clarification going forward in this series. So when you hear me use wording, you will not be confused. And the first is this. When we talk about hearing Jesus in this series, we're not talking about hearing Jesus speak audibly to us today. Let's get that clear right out of the gate. Look at these opening verses right away. They dispel much that is going on in the church today. As various people claiming to be prophets are claiming to hear God talk to them, we must be extremely careful today in the language we use. In Men of Valor, in Women of Joy, in your home Bible study, in your relationship, wherever you are, we must be very careful in the language we use today, for I hear it all the time now. It has seeped everywhere in the church. I heard God tell me. The Lord told me today. The Lord spoke to me today. I was in prayer and in the Word, and I heard the Lord tell me. This is dangerous language. In truth, and the true meaning of those words, it's just not true. What we actually mean when we say stuff like that is the Lord told me through his word, or the Lord convicted my heart, or laid a burden upon my heart. And that is exactly how we should speak, lest we lead others astray and open them up to believing false teachers. We must be careful in how we speak, lest we give the wrong impression. So let's let that be clear. We're not talking about the audible voice of Jesus. What we are to hear is the revelation of the things that are written. Do you see that? It's the things that are written. We are talking about hearing what one reads. Revelation 1:11, it says, write in a book what you see. We are talking about hearing the written word of God, verse 2, of what John has written here in the book of Revelation. So when Jesus says to us, he who has an ear, let him hear, does he mean if you don't have a literal ear, you're exempt? If you don't have an ear, he's not talking to you? No, but we'll get back to that in a minute. The second thing we need to make clear, when Jesus repeats, he who has an ear, let him hear, he is obviously not talking about just hearing, but how one hears. But how one hears. Have you ever been in a situation, I know you have, where you're talking to someone, you know, you're trying to explain something to someone, and you say to them, hey, I don't think you're hearing me. And they're sitting there listening to you. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Well, hey, you mom and dads, you know that. You've experienced that quite well, especially you parents who've had teenagers. Hey, I don't think you're hearing me. Even our spouses may say that to us from time to time, right? You know, there is a judge whose court cases are very popular on YouTube. He's very popular because of his fairness and his kindness. He was talking to a mother who was in his court whose grandson had committed a traffic violation. And he said this to the mother. I mean, grandmother. He said this. I try to give my grandchildren advice. I think they listen, but I'm not sure that they hear. And then he said this, there are two different things, you know, listening and hearing. They're not the same. He understood. And we know what he means, do we not? As we go through this series together in the weeks ahead, let me ask you a question. While you are sitting here in church, hearing me preach, hearing me teach, or you're sitting here hearing your Sunday school teacher on what Jesus, and then in here on what Jesus says to the churches, you are going to hear me. We get our English word acoustic from this word, from this Greek word to hear. We get the word acoustic. And the sound waves from my voice are going to go out, and you will all hear me. Some of you may just hear a muffled voice. Some of you may only hear, wah, 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 wah. As you may be thinking of something else, as something else invades your mind. But the issue is not just hearing me. The issue will be, how will you hear me? You see, you can come to church and you can hear the word and yet not hear the word. The same thing can happen when you personally read what Jesus says to the seven churches. There can be a mental hearing that you will have as with any portion of the word of God. But how will you hear the word? You can read your Bible every day and mentally hear the words, but not hear them at all. Jesus said, he who has an ear. Well, I have noticed as I look out here today, unless I've overlooked something, every one of us here doesn't only have one. We all have an ear, and we have two of them. How many here have more than two ears? How many have less than two? We all have ears. The issue isn't whether we have one or two ears, but rather, do we have the right kind of ear? Do we have ears that let us hear? We must ask ourselves before we dive into the seven churches following when Jesus, what is the kind of ear that hears? We must get this down if Jesus is going to tell us in every church, he who has an ear, let him hear. You know, in the physical realm, those who have trouble with hearing, what can they do? They can purchase hearing aids, right? I think I'm heading down that course. Just ask Shannon. I say what a lot, or what did you say a lot? And you may be saying, well, hearing aids are for old people. I don't have that problem. I'm young. I can hear well. But I actually would submit to you that in the spiritual world, every Christian has a potential problem with hearing. Every Christian needs hearing aid spiritually. Why? Because it's caused by our sin nature and our love of self that is still with us even after salvation. Not to mention the noise, the drowning noise of the world that can drown out the hearing voice of our Lord through the Word of God. So let's look at this today. I believe there are two spiritual hearing aids that we can start out with as we move over the next few weeks into the seven churches that will enable us to have the kind of ears that hear. Do we want to have those type of ears? So first, it is the kind of ear that has a spiritual string connected to a right heart. A right heart. Many people have ears but have no string connected to the heart. And so the words go in, they bounce around in the eardrums, and they may lodge themselves in the mind and stay in the mind for a while. But the words, the message, the counsel, the warnings never get to the heart, which then impacts the life. And therefore, they have little to no impact of the Word of God in their life. On the website Science by Design, the author writing about the ear says, hearing is a miracle. He describes in great detail how the ear can separate a multitude of different sounds. It's amazing. All at the very same time. And how vibrations from the eardrum are transmitted to tiny bones in the middle ear, causing fluid inside the ear to move. And this fluid movement stimulates a response in what we all have called the auditory nerve. And then he says, it's the brain's problem. It is a creation miracle. You know, in the spiritual realm, when we do not have ears to hear, it is not our brain's problem. It is a heart problem. Jesus is saying we need ears and our hearts on our hearts and not just on our head. We need the ear of a willing and responsive spirit. There's part of the hint. A willing and responsive spirit. David himself, he had such an ear. Just listen to one of his prayers. Teach me, O Lord, give me understanding that I may observe your law. Incline my heart. He went right where he needed to hear and have the understanding to be able to observe. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Therefore, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. When we have this kind of ear to hear, we will be blessed with a depth of understanding of our Lord's word that can come in no other way. Only the right heart hearing the word truly understands the word in its most applicable way. When we have ears connected to the right heart, we will respond like Samuel did when he actually did hear the voice of the Lord. He said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is what? Listening." Is that our heart? To have the hearing ear for the Lord? Do you come with an ear to hear? You know, this is a quote, one I've actually heard. "Well, Pastor, I didn't get anything out of that." I've actually heard that on several occasions after a message. I've actually heard this too. "I don't come to Sunday school because I've already heard it all." I've heard that too. You should read the testimonies of pastors as to what they see from the pulpit or what they deal with in counseling in the office behind closed doors concerning the ear to hear. Here's what I think. If the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the Bible study leader, etc., is preaching from the Word of God, the problem is not with him, it's with you and your heart. If God can make a donkey speak and rocks cry out, he can use the poorest preacher using the Word of God to say something to your heart. The key is, do we have the right heart? Let me ask you this, for this is key to this series. Do you have the right heart when you open your Bible to read it? Do you come to your Bible longing to hear God speak to you through his word, ready to do whatever it says, which is what he said? I often have not prepared my heart and prepared my mind when sitting down to read God's word with such an open plea. Prepare my heart, prepare my ears, and give me the power and your strength to do exactly what you tell me. I just dealt with this last week. Somebody who reads the Bible and gets nothing out of it with little to no conviction. And so what we must understand is this person is hearing with the brain only, not the heart. As Jesus would say, he has an ear, but he doesn't hear. So as you go into 2024, ask yourself, do I just barge into Bible study? Do I just barge into the church? Do I just barge into reading the Word? Do I just barge into prayer and get it over with to stay on my reading plan? Or to get it over with so that I can at least be a good attender and do what I have to do in front of my family and friends? Or do you pray like David? Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law, which is your word. I encourage you, God, when you pray like that, will start giving you a heart to hear or even improve the one that you already have that is hearing. So first we saw it is the kind of ear that has a spiritual string connected to a right heart. Second thing that a good hearing aid, it is the kind of ear that has a spiritual string connected to a right life. Blessed is he who reads, and blessed are those who hear, and are those who heed the things that are written. It's not okay just to hear. This is a heart that is open, a heart that is willing to hear, and looking also proactively to heed what it hears. Remember last week when we were in the Why Jesus series at Christmas and we looked at Mary. And we saw one great reason that Mary found favor with the Lord was in her response to him. She had a right perspective of God, and she had the right perspective of herself in relationship to God. She also knew the Word of God, as we see in the Magnificat, and therefore she clearly had ears to hear and heeded the Word by her life action. Remember how she referred to herself? She referred to herself as the Lord's bondslave, known as bondservant. When that hit me, that was magnificent to me, to have such a response right out of the gate. Well, how does Revelation open up? How does Revelation open right up? The revelation of Jesus Christ, who God gave him to show to who? His bond servants. That's you. The things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bond servant, John. Right out of the gate, who are we? In the opening verses, we are told that this revelation is given to God's bond servants, God's bond slaves, and to his bond servant, John. Here is the expectation, everyone, of the Lord, of those who are told to read, to hear, and heed. Namely, we are to be who we are. We are to be bondservants of the Lord God Almighty. Do you look at yourself as that way? The Greek word means a slave or a servant, as we saw last week. So what is a slave? A slave was an involuntary servant of another. It wasn't voluntary. It was involuntary. But something uniquely happened. In Christianity, it took that idea of involuntary slavery out of the marketplace, and it made it a term of honor to describe themselves as voluntary slaves or voluntary servants to their master, the Lord Jesus, God Almighty. And they were proud of that because they knew the grace that was given them to even be called a servant. Being devoted to him, devoted to his will and his cause, to the disregard of their own interests. Just like we saw with Mary's response, the bondservant says, not my will, but yours be done. And Mary said, let it be done to me just as you have said. It is the person who reads and hears with the right heart and who then heeds the things that are written that are bondservants of the Lord. Bondservants that are committed to serving him. Bondservants committed to doing what he says. Bondservants that are committed to pleasing him. Bondservants committed to obeying the master. Are we that committed? I often think we run out of many, we lose many opportunity and many blessings because of our lack of commitment, or that our commitment doesn't rise to the level that God wishes it to be. In fact, this word heed is the word Jesus used, the very same word, when he said, if you love me, you will keep. There's the word heed, my commandment. Boy, Jesus put it right there, didn't he? This is the issue, isn't it? When it boils down and gets to the heart of the matter, here's the great question. Are we heeding what we're reading? Are we heeding what we're reading? And if you're not reading, I guarantee you, you're not. The one who says to the churches, he who has an ear, let him hear. He also said this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's a great question. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that question from the Lord? I have. If you haven't, you're sinless. That's the great question. And then he tells us something remarkable. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words, and what? Acts on them. They heed. I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted, this is the person hearing with their mind, not with their heart, nor do they are they inclined to heed, is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. And I could hear Jesus say, I mean, in my mind, I could just think he could say, so therefore, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He could say that again. You know, you can go to Amazon and find many books that claim to give you the key. They're there. I mean, go there. Or the key to understanding the Bible. And don't get me wrong, some of them are very helpful indeed. And we should read them to build our knowledge if they're Bible-centered. But here's one that's very often overlooked. One of the most neglected keys, and a basic one to understanding the Word of God and having it be a blessing in your life, is the key of obedience. So many hate this word. Oh, that's all you talk about. Obey, 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 obey. In fact, Satan has used it in very derogatory ways in the church, in legalism and all type of things like that. So many hate this word, but if you read the scriptures through and through, it is a word that flows from the mouth of God throughout all of Scripture. It just flows out of Him throughout all of Scripture. And it flows out of the heart that is a bondservant who hears and heeds out of love for Him. Just yesterday, in my Built by Grace Bible read-through, as I'm reading through, this struck me. It hit me. It's not even here in the mess. I just got a slide note. I'm in Isaiah 65, and I'm coming upon all the blessings God's going to do someday for Israel. And then he said this, but you who forsake the Lord. So he just gets done telling all the good that he's going to do for those who follow him. But you who forsake the Lord, who forgot my holy mountain, and then he tells them what he's going to do to them. But he was gracious enough to tell us why. He said, because. Because I called, in verse 12, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. And you did evil in my sight and chose that in which I did not delight. There they chose not to respond to God, and they chose not to hear God, and they chose to do the opposite of what he said. Going back to Psalm 119, 17 through 19 again, it says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Do not hide your commandments from me. Look at a very wonderful gold nugget. Between dealing bountifully with your servant and open my eye are the words that I may live and keep your word. Scripture is beautiful as it all ties together. This is why we live as his bondservants, to keep his word. You see, the heart attitude of heeding is key to heart hearing the word of God. We must have them simultaneously. We must have a heart attitude to heed, and when we have that attitude, we will have a heart hearing heart of the word of God. Keeping his word is a crucial key to God dealing bountifully with us and having our spiritual eyes open to behold wonderful things from his word. Keeping his word and obeying what he says is crucial for us to be clean channels in 2024 through whom the Holy Spirit can work in this world today. And conversely, disobedience robs the word of the joy and blessing it can bring in your life. We get so delusioned and we become so deceived in any form of disobedience, it actually robs the very word for doing what it's intended to do to produce in us. And we therefore short-circuit our own life. Disobedience is like spiritual heart disease. It leaves you spiritually sick and weak. It is like the plaque that clogs the arteries that bring life to the soul. Disobedience and a life of it is like a spiritual heart attack. So let me ask you, as we get into the words of Jesus to the seven churches in these upcoming weeks, as Jesus says to them and us, he who has an ear, let him hear. Let me ask you ahead of time, is that going to be you? Right now, do you have that attitude? Right now, do you have the right life? Are you seeking to do your best to heed his word now? Is your life one of a bondservant? I have to look in my life. I don't have to look in yours. I have to look in mine. What type of bondservant am I? Where am I not heeding? Where is my heart somewhat callous? Am I devoted to him as I should be? Am I devoted to his will as I should be? Am I devoted to his cause? Is his cause my cause? Is his priority my priority? Am I willing to disregard my own interest for his? Oh, I think about this. Would Jesus call me his bondservant as he did John? As the praise team comes up. Many years ago, the prophet Elijah, he hurled this challenge before the people of Israel. He said in 1 Kings 18:21, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is, follow him. We opened this message by referencing Dr. Morrow, who said, there is a crisis of authority seeping into the church. Well, I want to encourage you today, for the true bondservant of the Lord, there is no such thing as a crisis of authority. And there is no crisis of authority here at EC Grace. And I don't mean me as your pastor. I mean it is the Lord's church here. Our authority and the authority is our Master and Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. And let's pray in humility. That never changes here. And that is exactly how we're going to go into 2024. And we are going to hear Jesus by responding to His Word in the way which pleases Him. I commit to you that I am going to pray that in your life. For 2024, if any of us are hesitating, hesitate no more. Jesus is the Lord our God. So therefore, let's be a people. Let's be a church with ears connected to a right heart, with ears connected to a right life. A people of whom the Lord can say, blessed is he who reads, and blessed is he because he hears, and blessed is he because he heeded the things that are written. I want to be that. Do you want to be that? So as we move forward, we're going to see in these seven churches some very amazing things. We're going to see some great warnings that we should all heed. But we're going to see some amazing praises from Jesus that is going to better be able to align us with the church, the person that he would have us be, as we patiently wait for his glorious appearing. Amen. So, you know, let's end out the year with Take My Life and Let It Be. Ever only, all for thee. Let's consecrate ourselves to Jesus Christ fully and completely. I want you to be praying this week as we move into more of the hearing messages next week and the following. Lord, give me an ear to hear. Let's stand and sing.